Dan, good morning. As we think about what we're going to be doing in the next half hour and what we'll be doing with the things that God gives you, things that are dear to you, how do we keep these precious things safe? Jesus has something to say about it. Let's consider it together as we stand, and we'll be reading from a familiar but powerful passage in Matthew chapter 6. Please rise. May the Lord speak to our hearts as we now read and hear from His Word. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and following. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. God's written word, recorded for our edification. May He speak to our hearts at this time. Please be seated. The dearly loved scholar pastor D. Martin Lloyd-Jones tells a helpful story to get us into what Christ wants to teach us today. Dr. Jones says there was a story about a certain farmer, and this farmer was having a happy day. It was a great day for him. He had come into the house and he had this great news to tell his wife. He says, "Honey," he says, "I got some terrific news. Our best cow has just given birth to twins." And as you know, twins can bring a lot of excitement into your life. A lot of other issues too. So one was brown and the other was white. And he said, "And you know, honey," he said, "I'm so happy, feeling so enthusiastic about what God has given us, a double blessing, that we're going to keep one of those for ourselves and we'll give the other one to the Lord." She said to him, "Which one, the brown one or the white one?" And he said, "Well, we'll worry about that when we get to it, as we come down the road a little further. But let's just raise them up together the same way, treat them both the same way, and then we'll make that decision." Sometime after, the farmer came back into his house. He wasn't looking so happy this day. He was very sad. In fact, looking miserable. And his wife said, "What's the matter, honey?" He says, "I've got some sad news. Some very sad news. The Lord's calf is dead." The Lord's calf is dead. It seems way too often that's the way it is. God takes the loss. Look at the structure in this text that captures what Jesus wants to teach you about the things that are dear to you. You see three verses here. In the first verse, verse 19, you'll see a command. Something to avoid. And the consequences, if we're going to handle our treasures that way, if we don't avoid a certain method of dealing with the things that are dear to us. Verse 20, we see another command. This is the positive. It's in the positive. And he's telling us a better way to handle the things that mean something to you. Because in the end, you're going to come out much better off. You may still have those things. And who knows, perhaps even more. And then you see this little verse at the end, verse 21, which is what I call a heart check. You want to check the condition of your heart to see how you're doing. It's a gut check to see how you're doing when it comes to handling the things that mean something to you in your life. These are not questions that Jesus puts before you. They're not statements. They are not suggestions. These are, in grammar, imperatives. And in the Greek Bible grammar, they are indeed commands. So we had better pay attention when Jesus gives commands. He does a lot of teaching. When he gives a command, we especially better take note of them. Well, the first command, the first point of Jesus' lesson in the negative is this, if I may summarize. The things you treasure on earth are not safe. Can you repeat that after me? The things you treasure on earth are not safe. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. This is not an exhaustive list, folks. This is an exemplary list. It's the tip of the iceberg about things down here that mean something to us. A number of you know that when I was pretty young, about 21 years old, got my first brand new car. It was a cool car. Canary yellow with a big black hood and a big scoop on the front, a four barrel. I used to call it the girl catcher. Can't call it that anymore, having caught one of the best women for me that I could ever have caught. In fact, the best. But when I got that canary yellow car, Mach 1 Mustang, I paid a fortune for it. And living up in Western Maryland, back in those days, years ago, salt from the winters and a lot of snow, you get like 7-8 feet of snow up there. They're putting a lot of salt down. Next thing I know, my feet were dragging the ground driving that car. Really. It had rusted out completely underneath, virtually. Bought it for a fortune and sold it for peanuts. Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where rust might destroy. He mentions the moths. You can figure your own example on that as you go into your closet and try to pull out that thing you thought you were going to wear. How'd I get that little tiny little hole there? Man, I should have checked that earlier. I only got a half hour to get ready. Or my father's pocket watch. I never bought too many gifts for my parents. I'm learning better as I get older. But I remember spending a lot of money for me on a gold pocket watch. I don't know how gold it was, but it was cost me a lot. And I felt pretty good about it. It would have been a nice treasure to have to remember him. But one time we decided to invite somebody into our house, and some of us probably had some second thoughts on inviting this person in. And that's the risk you take when you reach out and you put somebody up overnight. the day after and every day thereafter, we could never find that watch. Things disappear. Maybe we just lost it. Maybe it just disappeared. But it'd be nice just to have a little bit of nostalgia, if not whatever the value of the gold was, in the watch, railroad watch. He says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. You know, what are the things that are treasures to you? Think about that while I'm taking a drink. The things that are dear to you. Your job. Your career. Career. Future. Your health. A loved one, obviously. Your hopes. You have dreams. You know what they are. Ambitions. We've sung about that. And yes, your money. Jesus had a lot to say about money and possessions. And I hope there's a certain way in which we should be treasuring these things. We are stewards. We're supposed to be good managers. We're not supposed to, money, we're not just supposed to put in a hole and bury it. I mean, it's ridiculous when you can at least get maybe at 1% in this economy. But the question comes, are we living only on a horizontal level? Because if we are, these things that are dear to us, and if we're trying to manage them and hang on to them, and it's only on a horizontal earthly level, remember, the treasures, the things you treasure here on earth, they're not safe. You got it? They are not safe. They're at risk. The things that are dear to your heart. It's all at risk down here. Including your own soul. So when you get a little one-year-old running around, he's starting to toddle around, right, walking, guess what's the first thing you do? You take grandma's antique dish and you put it up on the top shelf. And you take that box of candy that you're used to reaching in to get a little, and you put it up on the top shelf. Yeah. You lay up your treasures high so that those little hands can't get in there and break it or steal it or who knows, maybe eat it. Then you got no chocolate for yourself. Which leads us to Jesus' second point, the second part of his lesson. The first is that the things you treasure on earth are not safe. So therefore, we need to realize there's a safer place to put the things that are precious to you. There's a safer place to put these things. It's up higher, more safe, more secure. Store up for yourselves, verse 20. Don't look at me, look at the text. If you want to know the truth about what he's saying, without doubt, you'll hear the truth from me as well, but you'll read it here. Impeccably clear. Store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. In heaven. Where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves cannot break in to steal. You know, the things we treasure, we do try to keep them safe. And as I kind of mentioned in passing, it's a smart thing to do. That's what we're supposed to be doing, have good stewardships with what God has invested in you and put into your hands. Some of us have less than others. Some of us have more. And we get better in this society of trying to keep our things secure. For example, if I bought that same car today, that Mach 1, I virtually wouldn't need to worry about the bottom of it rusting out. Because now they put all this undercoating on the bottom. It's like that thick. I don't know how thick it is, but, you know, it's almost unheard of. They can put all the salt down they want, and I don't need to worry about my feet coming down through the floorboards and dragging on the ground. So we're getting better as a society to try to do things more, not just efficiently, but ways that they'll last and be preserved, keep them. We're doing a lot of things. We have safe deposit boxes. My wife and I had the sad news of visiting one not too long ago, a couple times. She lost her parents, and we were looking for documents and any other valuables that may have been left behind, and we found a few. They weren't really wealthy, but we found some things that had some value, both in the documents as well as in some smaller things that may have sparkled a little bit. And so they were safe. And that's why we have basically diversified portfolio advice now, right? Some of you, probably almost everybody in here, we didn't have to go through the Great Depression. Was it October 29th, Black Friday, is that when it was, the date? And the stock market crash, and people lost, they worked our whole life. Punch a clock, they go in at 8 in the morning, they come home at 5 or 6 or whatever it is, they punch out, and they take what little they can and they stick it in the bank, and then they do that 365 days, not literally, but and then in the year, another 365, and another, and then like they're getting old and gray, and then they're hoping to have some money, like when I get too old, I can't earn any money because I'm too feeble and no one would hire me anyway because I'm like 60 or 70 or whatever you are. Get to be 50, it's hard to get hired these days. And then they go to get their money out of the bank, and oops, we're sorry. It's all gone. There's been a rush on the banks. Everybody panicked, and the stock market's crashed. And now, your money's not there. Scary stuff. So now they have FDIC, right? Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. Put your money in the bank. If you happen to be in a position to save $250,000, it's federally insured. By the way, if you have a little more than that, say you have $500,000. Maybe some of you have been fortunate enough to save that much. A lot of you are pretty young. Unless you inherit, you probably don't have that. But you better put it in two accounts. You understand? Because it's only going to cover $250,000 in one account, so put it in two, diversify. So that's what you do. That's why we were trying to come up with safe ways, and we should. We want to preserve the possessions that God's giving to you, to manage them well, to gain interest on them, to invest them in ways that's going to be fruitful for you, for your children, for society. And that's why people go back to school to get more education. They learn another skill, right? Because their career's in jeopardy. And so they're trying to do something to keep safety and security and protect their income and protect their future and their family and household and all that. And Jesus says, store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moths and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. You see, the truth is, with all the undercoating, all the FDIC, all the safety deposit box, we still need additional safety because it's still all at risk. You got it? Everything you have is at risk. Do a good job of keeping it safe down here. But whatever job you're doing to protect those precious people and those precious possessions, which is basically the context here of this passage, you realize that basically what we have here is a place where we're completely susceptible. And if all we've done is to keep it safe here for a while, when we leave this world, will we ever find any residual of our investments? All we've worked, time, energy, sweat, investing money, making decisions, trying to do all that stuff, will we really have anything of any lasting value when it's all been said and done? We will really have advanced when it comes to eternity? Or will our lives down here have been wasted? And this is all that it is. Oh, he was born in poverty, but when he left, he was a millionaire. Is that all it is? Whoever dies with the most toys wins. So how do we lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven? How do we get them up safe? He doesn't tell us in this text, does he? But we can quickly get it elsewhere. First, you recognize that God is the giver. Can you say that? God is the giver? One more time. God is the giver. 1 Corinthians 4:7. What do you have that you did not receive? So why would we act in a way or deal with those things as if we ourselves were our own blessing? Although sometimes you have to work hard to get something. Sometimes it's just put in your hand as inheritance. But God gives you those things. Now the next question is, and are you surrendering them up into God's hands? And there it is. Are you surrendering them into the hands of God? The blessings that He's bringing to you, and the context again, especially your possessions. Are you keeping them just in your hands? Maybe trying to get more in there? Are you taking what He gives you and say, here, Lord, these came from You, and now I give them right back. What do You want me to do with them? You know, that's when your treasures are safe. You're laying them up into the hands of heaven, to the hands of God. And that can be a hard thing. You know, it's the attitude that Mary had when God gave her the Messiah. He's given us the Messiah too, hasn't He? Many of us, we know where we get our forgiveness. God so loved the world, He gave His one, His only Son. Whoever's trusting in Him, you're not going to perish. You have everlasting life in Him. And now God gives us many possessions. And so we want to give them back into His hands. And so Mary's attitude was this, after she was told she was going to have the Messiah scratching her head, how did I get this blessing? She says to Him, I'm Your servant, Lord. May it be to me according to Your will. Here I am, Lord, I'm Your servant. You gave me this gift. What do You want me to do with it? And the truth is, some gifts mean so much to us, and I'm talking about myself and my own journey, and I suspect you're the same. Some things are so precious, we don't want to give them back to God because we're afraid that somehow we're going to get shortchanged. We got it wrong, folks. We got it all wrong. Because whatever we are finding hard to give back to God, it's at risk anyway, don't you understand? Unless you give it to Him, that's the only way you could possibly keep it. And so Jesus gives us this last little verse, this administering the spiritual EKG. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What is the condition of your heart? That's what He wants us to ask ourselves. Sometimes we think we're right with God. The Pharisees felt that way. He said, they speak about Me with their lips, but their hearts are far from Me. Where is your heart? And sometimes we don't quite know where it is. I'll tell you where it is if we look at Jesus' instruction. Your heart is exactly where your treasures are. The things that God gives you that you value, that they're precious to you, are they still in your hands and you won't let God get to them? Because you're trying to do something on your own, to build something, to gather something, to hold on to something? Is what you consider precious still in your hands, whether it's your children, your money, your job, doesn't make any difference. Are you holding on to them for yourselves? Or have you taken those hands that are here on earth, said, "Here, Lord, it's all yours anyway." And you place what's dear to you back into the hands of heaven. That's how you know. And I don't think most of us in this room need a new heart altogether. But I think we have some clogged arteries. That there are some blessings that God has given us. Possessions that and things that are dear to us that are hard to let go of. And I pray that God would grant us grace to have a spirit and a heart more in keeping with what Mary said. Lord, I'm your servant. Thank you for your gift. I'm your servant, but may it be to me according to your will. You know, I want to share one. I won't keep you much longer, but I want to share a couple of verses here. In Proverbs 11:24, I'll read it. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. That's one you can take home and meditate on. How is it that we can give something and we can end up with more, or we can withhold something and actually end up with less? Matthew 10:8, Jesus said to his disciples, "Freely you've received, freely give." Or as 2 Corinthians 9:7 and following says, God loves a cheerful giver. May God grant us the ability to realize that giving is a privilege. We've been privileged to know God who's given us Christ. We're privileged to have His possessions. And it's a privilege, an honor, and a joy to bless the world around us with what He's given us. Give to get, to give again, and to experience the joy of a generous God who's given us so much love in Jesus Christ. So how do we keep what is precious to us? Be rich towards God. Be rich towards God. Place all of those things that are precious to you back into the hands of God. Say, God, they're all yours. Now, how can I bless the world and find something lasting for me when I meet you in eternity? Let us pray. Lord, we bow before you. We thank you for this text. All that we have has been given to us by you. Many things that are meaningful to us in this world. Some of them it's hard for us to let go. But I pray for each person here, distance of my voice and for myself, that we would grow in grace and in the knowledge of your generosity toward us, that we might be more freed up in freely sharing the grace that you have given to us through your precious gifts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.